I invite you to turn, please, to the book of John, the third John, the third epistle. So third John, if you will. We'll read verse 1 through verse 4. My text will be verse 4. Third John, verse 1 says, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Today is a special day in our society. It is the holiday we call Mother's Day. On this day, all mothers are to be honored. They should be honored all the time, but on this special day, they are honored. They are to be respected for all that they do and all that they are. Most often, this is done by a well-planned, considerate card, along with a box of chocolates, or a gift, or flowers, perhaps even all four. Again, most often, a special dinner is on hand. Well, permit me to say that such recognition is well-deserved. Usually, the mother is taken for granted and her labors are often overlooked. Therefore, it is nice to shower her with a little praise and a gift or two. Yet, upon the reflection of this matter of giving gifts, I thought it would be well today to think about and to speak on the best gift, or I could say gifts, but the best gift that you can give your mother. The gift I think of is better than any bouquet of flowers, or fine dining, or a diamond ring even. This gift is a gift which keeps on giving. It is then my objective to speak to you a message entitled, "The Best Mother's Day and Father's Day Gift." The best Mother's Day gift. Let's pray. God, thank you for the day and the privilege of being in your house. Bless your word to our hearts. And Lord, you've heard our requests for those that are not well, those who are bereaved, and the unspoken requests. You know, God, we just cast them all before you. And we know that your perfect will be accomplished. We thank you for that. We pray that you bless our time. And as the word goes out today, that which you've laid upon my heart, that it might be a blessing to your people. But also we pray for those that are lost, that they might be convicted of their sin, drawn to you, that they might be saved even today. Lord, we do thank you for our mothers. We thank you for all that they've done and all that they do. And Lord, some of them have already gone to be with you. And Lord, we just thank you for all that that means to us, Lord, that they have been so a blessing to us through our lives. And so, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. Bless now your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. I want to talk to you today about the best Mother's Day or Father's Day gift. And what we find in the passages we've read here is by the Apostle John writing to a fellow by the name of Gaius. Now I want to give you John's expression as we've read within the passage here in these first four verses anyway. Now John, if you'll look at verse 1, is writing to a fellow by the name of Gaius. Now, there are several mentioned in the Scripture by this name, but since it is not our desire to have an in-depth study of 3 John, we're not going to try to determine which one. It really doesn't make any difference to us at this point. But he writes unto Gaius. You glance at verse 2, and as we read there, we know that John desires that Gaius would have a great blessing and prosperity. So John writes that. You want to be prosperous and be good in your health, and everything that you do would be blessed. Then in verse 3, John rejoiced greatly, we read, when he heard of the testimony of Gaius' belief and the good Christian walk. And so then in verse 4, I see this verse as a declarative statement. The best news to him regards the faithful walk of his children. So he says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Now, as we look at this, we understand that this is a spiritual statement. as John writes to Gaius, this is a spiritual matter. You're my spiritual son. And I hear this great thing of you that you're walking in the truth. You're being faithful. You're remaining in your testimony. That's a grand thing. And that really brings me great joy, John says. Well, we're going to apply that in just a moment in the practical application. But with this spiritual sense, understand what John is writing about when he says, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in the truth. Now, I've chosen to give you a brief quote from one of the commentators, and he says this, "This is such language as would be used by an aged apostle when speaking of those who had been converted by his instrumentality and who looked up to him as a father, and we may therefore infer that Gaius had been converted under the ministry of John, and that he was probably a much younger man than he was." John, the aged apostle, says that he had no higher happiness than to learn, respecting those who regarded him as their spiritual father, that they were steadfast in their adherence to the doctrines of religion. The same may be of all ministers of the gospel, that their highest comfort is found in the fact that those to whom they minister, whether still under their care or removed from them, persevere in the steadfast attachment to the true doctrines of religion and live accordingly. The same may be of all Christian parents respecting their own children. The highest joy that a Christian parent can have is to know that his children, whether at home or abroad, adhere to the truths of religion and live in accordance with the requirements of the gospel of Christ. And so it's a spiritual thing, but it also may be applied as a natural thing in this world. Another commentator says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth in the perspective of the Christian religion. Listen to this statement. The best evidence of our having the truth is our walking in the truth. Good men will greatly rejoice in the soul prosperity of others, and they are glad to hear of the grace and goodness of others. And so John writes and he says, I've heard about you and what I hear is tremendous. I rejoice greatly, verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, Gaius was John's spiritual child, my children walk in truth. So let's take that statement that we find in this verse. Let's make an application. And I trust that the method of my madness will make sense to you as this unfolds. First of all, I submit unto you, when we think of this verse, he talks about the presence of children. He says that my children, spiritually that is the case. He had an effect upon many people and they were saved. They were his spiritual children. But let's think of it this way. I want to remind you, my dear friend, that children are a blessing of the Lord. And I think in the physical sense, what a blessing it is to have children. Some see them as curses, but the Bible declares them as blessings from God. Psalm 127:3 says, children are an heritage of the Lord, it says. Psalm 128, verse 3 says, thy children like olive plants around thy table. These are good things. These are blessed things. If you have children, God has blessed you with children. So it's just a simple statement here that John makes that my children walk. And so I'm thankful for the presence of children. The second thing I look into this passage and I see that what these children are doing. He says that he rejoices that he says, my children walk in the truth. And so this reminds me and confirms, as we all know, that children have a walk. This word walk in the text means to walk about. It is to roam. It is to maintain a certain walk of life or conduct, a pathway. All of our children have their own path. You chose your path and you followed your path and your children will follow their path. Children have a walk. And I understand that some paths are not very good paths. Some children choose wrong walks of life. But they all have a walk. The presence of children are a blessing of God. And they each have a walk. Proverbs remind us in chapter 22 in verse 6 to train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he shall not depart from it. All of our children have a walk. We do what we can as parents while we can influence them, especially when they're very young, to teach and to train and to guide our children. Why? Because they're going to have a walk, and we want them to be in the right kind of walk. And we want them to have a blessed life and a life of prosperity and blessings. And we want to direct them that way, so we do what we can as parents to do that. And despite all of our best efforts, sometimes children still will choose to walk in the wrong path. But children are present, and children have a walk. Now, as we look into the passage once again, a third item I bring to your attention is that John's concern regards the matter of the truth. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So you take from that spiritual realm and bring it to the physical realm. It is good to know that your children walk in the truth. And such is true, that these things I'm going to say to you is true in the spiritual realm, but also in the natural realm. I believe the first thing that John is thinking about here, I believe it's the embodiment of the Christian doctrine. When he writes of Gaius and says, I hear that my children walk in the truth, I really rejoice in that. It's a matter of they have a knowledge of God, and that they've been saved, and they serve the Lord, and they hold to the doctrinal beliefs and so on. Everything that encompasses true Christianity, John says, I'm so glad that when I hear about you, that's what you've done. You know God, you've been saved, and you follow after Him, and you're faithful and you're true. That brings great joy to John in a spiritual sense. It is a matter of following after God, isn't it? Look back the page or across the page to 2 John. In the second epistle, John writes, and there he writes to the elect lady, it says, but look at verse 4. 2 John 4, he conveys the same sense or similar sense. He says, I rejoiced greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And so the desire here of John is that those spiritual children would walk in the matter of Christianity and the embodiment of Christian doctrine. But I also would submit unto you it would be the matter of honesty and integrity. Walk in truth. Now let's bring that to the natural realm. Every parent, I believe every Christian parent, desires that their children know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's a great burden to them. And so parents will pray for their children. They'll teach their children. They'll train their children and bring them to church and do all that they can so that they would embrace God and embrace Christian doctrine, that they might be saved, that they might serve the Lord, that they would maintain the truth, that they would follow after God. What joy it is to a parent to see a child who does that very thing. Well, I also believe that second aspect applies that matter of honesty and integrity. To know that the child is true and honest and one of integrity. That's the kind of, we want children to be able to grow up in this life and be decent people and good citizens and grandchildren. That's our desire. And John writes and he says, I have these children and they walk in truth. And that's a great joy to him. And how so it is in the natural realm, isn't it? I think you might have an idea what that greatest gift is for a mother. It's this very thing, to know that her children walk in truth. To know Christ and to follow after Him and to follow after the truth and be found true and faithful in all things and to be as God would have them to be. So I see this statement here that John makes, and I want to make that application as I think about that, the best gift that you can give. But notice also into the passage. We find here, he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And what I learn from this is that children maintain a good testimony, thus a good reputation. That's a thrill to John. Gaius, I've heard about this of you. And what pleasure it is, what joy it is to any parent when they hear about good things about their children, the reputation of their children, than to hear, he says in the text. Back up to verse 3. I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. How does John know about this? Because these people who knew Gaius says, hey, this is what he's doing. This is how he lives. That brought great joy to John. Parent, how does that make you feel when the teacher comes up and says, you know what? You have a really good student there. Coach comes up, you really have a good athlete there. Sunday school teacher comes up, boy, your children, they're just the best children. They're good children. Parents, don't you like to hear that? Doesn't that rejoice your heart when your children have a good reputation, when they have a good testimony? What a joy it is. And so, by the way, young people, and I wish the house were full of them, but I'll tell you, reputation is a good thing. And as I heard from Dr. Gray Allison, and I've repeated it to my children over and over and over, Dr. Gray Allison would tell the students there at Mid-America, he says, remember who you are and whose you are. And I've said that to the boys on a number of occasions. They were leaving the house. Remember who you are and whose you are. What you do makes a difference. A child's conduct reflects upon a family. That's why if you're going through the store and your kids are small and they act out and have a real fit in the store, you're angry at that. But most of the time, you're angry because you look like a bad parent. That really upsets you. And so not only do you not like their behavior, you don't like the fact that they've just embarrassed you in front of everybody in the store. It's a matter of reputation. It's a matter of expression, isn't it? So John writes and he says, I've heard about this about you. And all that our children would have a good reputation and maintain that reputation. So, young person, you want to be a blessing to your parents? Have that kind of reputation. Be positive and follow after God. But let me also submit unto you in like manner. And I'm going to make a reference out of the book of Proverbs chapter 28. And this might seem a strange reference to you, but as I think about the best gift that a child can give the parent, not only can they have and maintain a good reputation, but I think that child will also in like manner recognize their mother's reputation. That is, keep in mind all that she does. In Proverbs chapter 31, when we see a great discussion there about the virtues of a great woman and the ideal woman, in verse 28, there's a statement there that says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. And what I find is, not only should children have good reputations, but I think they ought to recognize, in this instance, the mother and her reputation. You know, some kids, they really it never has sunk into them what they have. They do not realize and recognize all that mom has done and all that dad has done. They take it for granted. They think life is owed to them. What a shame when that happens. What we want is for them to recognize that they need to have a good reputation, but also recognize what has been provided for them and the blessings that the parents have been to them. And so that's what John speaks about here in our text here in 3 John in the 4th verse. He has great joy. Why? Because his children walk in truth. That great testimony, he's heard about it. It really rejoices his heart. And so, young people, boy, that's a way that you can really bring joy to your mother, bring joy to your father. In fact, let's follow up on those thoughts for just a moment. You look back into our verse, and the very first part of the verse tells us very clearly, as I've been saying, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. John says, this is the greatest thing to me. What a joy. I have no greater joy than that. So may I submit unto you a spiritual walk coupled with a godly walk. And that's what I tried to imply with the embodiment of the Christian and doctrine and being saved and following after God, but also a matter of honesty and integrity. Those two things together, a spiritual walk coupled with a godly walk, brings great joy to the parents. Every parent desires that for the children. So let us digress for a moment and let's go to Proverbs. And we're going to look at a number of verses here. I want to prove this premise that I just stated. Now, John states it clearly. I have no greater joy. Well, my declaration that a spiritual walk and a godly walk brings great joy to the parents, I want to demonstrate that to you. Book of Proverbs, chapter 23. Proverbs 23. Notice what Solomon wrote in verse 15. Proverbs 23:15, he says, my son, If thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Does that sound like John? I greatly rejoice when I hear. Now what does Solomon say? My son, if your heart is wise. So what we find is that children who are wise, who will know the right way to go and walk in those kind of things, the children who are wise brings rejoicing. Look further down into the chapter, verse 24. Proverbs 23, 24. The father of the righteous shall rejoice, greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have a joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. Isn't that true? And so when our children are doing right, when they have that reputation, when they're following after God, and God has saved them, and what a joy it is. Great rejoicing. But look over to chapter 27, Proverbs 27, again, in verse 11. Proverbs 27, 11. He says, my son, be wise and make my heart glad that I may answer him that reproacheth me. Be wise. Why? That'll make me happy. It'll make me glad. But will children always do what they ought to do? Will they always be right? Will they always choose properly? Well, anybody who has children will know that's not the case. Children will make bad choices. I made my share of bad choices. You made your share of bad choices. We're not a perfect people, and our children will not be perfect. And when I read in the verses here, and I'm going to ask you to go back to Proverbs 15. When I read in the verses here about the joy when a child makes a good decision and is wise in their conduct and has a good reputation, well, I connect with that because I have two boys. And what a joy that brings when these things are going well and they make good, sound decisions and good choices. But I'll tell you, they haven't always made good choices. They make some bad choices. And does that bring joy to the parents? No. It doesn't bring joy to mom, to dad? No, it does not. Wisdom equals rejoicing, doesn't it? And so in contrast, and this can happen, and you have to keep in mind who Solomon was and how many wives he had, which means he had a whole bunch of children. I mean, he had an untold number of children. He knows children. And he says, if you're wise, I rejoice. That just thrills my heart to know these things. But what about in contrast to that? And if your child has ever made any poor choices, you recognize this. Every parent will be able to touch on this. And which, by the way, what this means, young person, and older person, in case you never ever put the pieces together. Now, when you make bad choices, what it does to your parents. So, Proverbs 15, verse 20 says, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. That's sad, isn't it? Chapter 17, book of Proverbs. 17, verse 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father, and bitterness to her that bare him. Young people, take note. Those foolish acts bring grief to your parents. Crushes their spirit. That's what Solomon said. And every one of us who's had children know that that's true. Chapter 19, book of Proverbs. First part of that verse. A foolish son is the calamity of his father. That's what it says. Look at verse 26. He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causes shame and bringeth reproach. Bad choices. Waste away his father, chases them away. How sad. And I, through my ministry, over the past 30 years, have seen in numbers of parents. Some were in the church, some were not in the church, some were in the community, some were co-workers. Parents and stories of, I remember Laura going to a Bible study over a church nearby here, and one of the ladies there was just so brokenhearted over the actions of their child. And I've heard it over and over and over again. Young people, you can just crush the spirit of your parents by the choices you make. You be foolish and you're going to bring grief to your mom and your dad. You're going to bring a great burden upon them. Choose not to be like that. Young person, choose to do better. Be a good a child. Be obedient. Be responsive. Walk in the truth. Be saved. Those are the things that will bring great joy to your parents. And so as you tie this together and you recognize, as John speaks there, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. What a grand example we have. And every parent knows it to be true. What joy, what joy. Let me submit unto you then, as you turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I believe this type of walk includes, and I'm going to give you three things. I will go back to Proverbs in just a moment, but three things. There are many others, of course. We could talk a great deal about children and responses to parents, but we've already indicated as we've gone through the passage about knowing God, being saved, having holding to the truth and following after the truth. Three things. This type of walk includes honoring them. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us in verse 2 and verse 3, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Young person, you want to give your mom a good Mother's Day gift? Honor your mother and your father. Honor them. Verse 1 is number 2. Verse 1, obeying them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You want to do a great gift for your mother? You say, well, I'll clean out the car for her. I'll clean out the flower bed for her. That's good. That's great. But you want to do something really good for your mom? Honor your mother. Respect her. Honor her. And obey her. Every parent that's had, of course, children, one or more, knows what it is to be disobeyed. And that's a grief, isn't it? Solomon hit it right on the mark. And it's foolishness, by the way. Did you recognize that? It's foolish for a child to do that. But a wise child will bring great joy. Choose to be wise, children. Honor your mother and your father. Obey them. Go back to the book of Proverbs and I'll be done. Chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. And I submit unto you, you want to give a great gift to your mom? Receive their instruction. I was young once, and I realized my perception of parents and how I thought I knew everything, and they didn't know anything. And I found the older I've gotten that I didn't know anything, and they knew a lot more than I give them credit for. Well, they didn't know everything. They weren't perfect people, but you know what I found is they were a lot wiser than I thought they were. And when I deal with my children and I'll say something to them, you know, it's like water off a duck's back. Just rolls right away. In one ear, out the other. And I go, man, you won't listen. You're just headed for a fall. You know what that does? That crushes the parent. Brings grief, doesn't it? I'll tell my boy something. Ryan's bad about this, and I don't care if he hears it or not. I'll tell him something, and he'll go, I know. I know. I mean, he knows everything. Well, I did too at his age. But I'll tell him something, he'll go, I know. And he'll walk away, and I'll go, but why don't you do it? Why don't you do it? It's true of your children, isn't it? How many times have you told your children something? Try to teach them, try to help them, try to guide them, try to protect them. You're doing everything that you can to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And they just won't listen. My children are adults now. I can't make them listen. I'll tell you, young person, you want to give a good gift? Listen. We are not as dumb as we look. Proverbs 6. This is what Solomon said, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Next time mom and dad gives you a little bit of instruction, a little bit of correction, think of Solomon's words. And instead of getting an attitude and believing you know more than they, you would do well to stop and think, these things will guide me in my life. They will protect me. Why Solomon told me so. You want to give a good gift to your mother for Mother's Day? What have we talked about today? What is the best Mother's Day gift? For a mother to know that her children are children of God. That's a great gift. Now, I know we can't make that happen. Salvation is of the Lord, but we do pray that our children would be saved. What a tremendous thing to know that they know God. What's the best Mother's Day gift? I think it's for a mother to hear good things about her children. That those children have and maintain a good reputation. That joys her heart. What is the best Mother's Day gift? I think it's for a mother to see her children responding wisely to daily living. Not making boneheaded decisions and stupid choices, but making good, sound, solid decisions based on the principles of God's Word and on the instruction that they've received of their parents. That brings great joy. That's a great gift. And I submit unto you, lastly, it's for a mother to know her children live godly Christian lives. Children, you profess to know Jesus Christ. You say that you're saved. Then live it for Jesus. A child should respond to and incorporate the Bible as well as all of us should. That's what a mother joys in. To know that her children are saved and they walk in the truth. I think that's the greatest gift you can give your mother. To be the kind of child God intends for you to be. And the Bible describes it for us. And so I encourage every young person here today to take it to heart. To say, by God's grace, I will be the kind of child God intends me to be. And if you're lost, oh, that you might be saved, that you'd be convicted of your sin and repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your greatest need. Let me close by giving you another quote from the commentator, and I stop with this. If a child wished to confer the highest possible happiness upon his parents when with them, it would be by becoming a decided Christian. Not one in name only, but a decided Christian. If, when abroad in foreign lands or his own, he wished to convey intelligence to them that would most thrill their hearts with joy, it would be to announce to them that he had given his heart to God. There is no joy in a family like that when children are converted. There is no news that comes from abroad that diffuses so much happiness through the domestic circle as the intelligence that a child is truly converted to the Savior. There is nothing that would give more peace to the dying pillow of the Christian parent than to be able to leave the world with the assurance that his children would always walk in the truth. How true that is. That's a true statement. And John writes, and he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Take that spiritual application, apply it to the natural realm, and you have the greatest Mother's Day gift or Father's Day. Children, will you be the kind of children you ought to be? Will you be God's children as well and follow after God? And parents, take heart. They're God's, not yours. So be encouraged. Know that the sorrow is going to come, but there will be great joy. And we just pray there will be more joy than sorrow. May God grant His blessings to rest upon us today, saving the lost, strengthening the saved, and may the children have a desire to truly respond and give these kind of gifts to their parents. My, what a blessing. Let's stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? I pray that you understood the intent of the service and the heartbeat, and I hope it's been presented in a good tone. I didn't try to be mean or harsh. I pray God's will be done. Father, we commit this time to you today. We honor you. We love you. We pray that you would